I invite you to stand as you're able now for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew from the 6th chapter. And this is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive them, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Please join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of this day and for your holy word. And we thank you now for the opportunity for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O God, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially the words of my mouth, would be acceptable to you, O God, and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Any of you who have become members of a United Methodist Church, or before that, the Methodist Church, took vows when you became members. And your vows were a promise to do, at that time, probably four things: to support the church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. More recently, we've added, and your witness. Those commitments that we made a long time ago, probably, but they truly should be a living promise. They should be something that we live out each and every day, to come before God with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Throughout the month of October, we'll have a sermon series entitled Committed to Christ. Committed to Christ. We'll look at our commitment to prayer, our commitment to worship, our commitment to service and witness, and then on the last Sunday of October, which will be our consecration Sunday, our commitment to giving. The theme of those services came from a book by Bob Crossman entitled Committed to Christ, Six Steps to a Generous Life. I'm condensing that to four steps. So four steps to a generous life. In his book, he talks about our need to grow. If we're going to go deeper in our faith, we need to make a commitment. And we need to look at where our commitment level is now and then see if we might step it up a little, if we might step up our commitment. So this morning, we're going to think a little bit about our prayer life and our commitment to Christ through our prayers. There are a myriad of ways that we can talk about prayer, and I'm sure that you've heard more than a dozen sermons on the topic. Prayer truly is intricate to our connection with God and with Christ and the Holy Spirit. Prayer is our connecting ourselves, our situation, with the divine, who offers us strength and comfort and what we need for our daily living. This morning, I'd like us to just look at two aspects of prayer. First is focus, and second is simplicity. Focus and simplicity. Our prayer life should be very focused, and the focus shouldn't be on ourselves. Our focus should always be on God. We are connecting to God, and we are talking to God, and we are listening for God. Too often in our prayer life, our focus is on ourselves and our own situation. We tend to bring a wish list to God as if God were some divine Santa Claus who would bring us everything we need and want. In truth, we open ourselves to God and we become intimate and vulnerable when we have that conversation. It's not that we want to change God. It's that we want God to change us. Prayer truly is that opportunity for us to spill out our soul to the Lord. If you read through the Psalms, you see that the psalmists are angry and happy and sad and frightened. And those are prayers, and all those aspects go into our prayer life. We pray not so that others hear us, but we pray so that God hears us, and then we hear God. Our focus in our prayer should always be on God and not on ourselves. Too often, we think that we can't pray. We think that we don't know how to pray. We think that there needs to be some special place, some special way, some special words in order for us to pray. But in truth, there are no special words. There is no special place. There is no special routine that one needs to go through to pray. The simpler, the better. Pray is what God and Christ ask for us. They ask us to simply open our hearts to God so that God might know what is on our hearts. Percy Ainsworth from the last century had this wonderful quote about prayer. "The end of prayer is not to win concessions from Almighty power, but to have communion with Almighty love." Not to win concessions from Almighty power, but to have communion with Almighty love. You may know by now that one of my favorite theologians was a person that went to the same seminary as I did, Union Theological Seminary in New York City, Frederick Buechner. And Frederick is from Vermont. And this is his book, Daily Readings and the ABCs of Faith, Beyond Words, A Word a Day to Keep the Demons at Bay. A Word a Day to Keep the Demons at Bay. And this is part of what he says about prayer. We all pray, whether we think of it as praying or not. The odd silence we fall into when something very beautiful is happening, or something very good or very bad. The that sometimes floats up out of us as out of a 4th of July crowd when the skyrocket bursts over the water. The stammer of pain at somebody else's pain. The stammer of joy at somebody else's joy. Whatever words or sounds we use for sighing with over our own lives, these are all prayers in their way. These are all spoken not just to ourselves, but to something even more familiar than ourselves and even more strange than the world. According to Jesus, by far the most important thing about praying is to keep at it. The images he uses to explain this are all rather comic, as though he thought it was rather comic to have to explain prayer at all. He says God is like a friend you go to borrow bread from at midnight. The friend tells you in effect, to drop dead, but you go on knocking anyway, until finally he gives you what you want so he can go back to bed again. Or God is like a crooked judge who refuses to hear the case of a certain poor widow, presumably because he knows there's nothing much in it for him. But she keeps on hounding him until finally he hears her case, just to get her out of his hair. Even a stinker, Jesus says, won't give his own child a black eye when the child asks for peanut butter and jelly. So how all the more will God when his children ask of him? Be persistent, Jesus says. Not one assumes because you have to beat a path to God's door before God will open it, because until you beat the path, maybe there's no way of getting to your door. Perhaps there's no way of God getting to your door. Focused on God, being persistent, and using simple words. Anne Lamott wrote a very simple book, Three Essential Prayers. Help, thanks, wow. Help, thanks, wow. Three very simple prayers that we all could utter each and every day. Help, thanks, wow. There's a wonderful German proverb that says, the fewer the words, the better the prayer. The fewer the words, the better the prayer. Bob Crossman, in this book, in his chapter on prayer, has a story that he says is not from the Bible, but you could almost imagine this. Jesus and his 12 disciples were sitting down and they're about ready to eat. So Jesus turns to Peter and asks, Peter, would you say the prayer before we eat? Everyone bowed their heads, and Peter prayed out loud, "Oh, existential manifestation of the cosmic force, the ground of our being, and first principle of essential casuality, hear our supplication. Almighty One of the universe, pour upon all who are in any ways afflicted or distressed the continual dew of thy blessing, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve their several necessities, giving them a happy issue out of all their afflictions. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeigningly thankful. Fulfill now the petitions of thy servants as may be most expedient for them, for the sake of him who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Bless, O Sovereign, these thy gifts before us, that our bodies may be strengthened in the name of him who made by his one oblation a full and sufficient sacrifice. Amen." Jesus lifted his head, looked at Peter, and asked, "Say what?" The simpler, the better. The fewer the words, the better the prayer. Prayer is our strength for living each and every day. Strength is what gives us comfort. It keeps fear at bay. It helps us to stay connected with God. There's a wonderful little story about a preschooler who is out digging in his sandbox one day. And this is a wonderful sandbox, and he has his trucks and his cars and a nice pail and a bright red new shovel. And as he's making his roads and tunnels in the sandbox, he comes upon a huge rock that he's unburied in the middle of his sandbox. Well, he wants that rock out of there. So he digs and he prods and he pushes, and he finally gets this huge rock right over to the edge of the sandbox, that little tiny wall. And he can't quite get the rock over the wall. He'll push and he'll prod and he'll have it standing up and it'll fall back down. And this was happening over and over again, and that rock was falling on his chubby little fingers. And finally, with tears of frustration, he just sits down in the sandbox and cries. Now, his father has been watching this drama unfold from his living room window. And finally, his father comes out and stands over his son crying in the sandbox, and he says to his son, "Did you use all the strength you had? Did you use all the strength you had to remove that rock?" And the little boy, with tears in his eyes, says, "Yes, I did." And the father says, "No, you didn't. You didn't ask me. You didn't ask me." And with that, the father picks up the rock and takes it out of the sandbox. That's prayer. That's prayer. We all have rocks and burdens and challenges and disappointments, that rock that we find in the middle of our sandbox that no matter how hard we try, we can't move it on our own. And we hear, "Did you use all the strength that you had? Did you ask me? Did you ask God? Did you take it to God in prayer? Did you say, help, thanks, wow? Did you ask God for the help, the strength, the comfort, the love that you need for the living of these days? Did you ask me?" In your bulletin this morning is a commitment card. It's a commitment that is about your prayer life. It's a checkoff list. We're gonna take a few moments in silence to consider where you are in your prayer life, how committed you are to a life of Christ. We're not going to have you put those in the offering plate today or in any way give them back to the church, but we're going to ask you to give them to God, to say a silent prayer to God about your commitment to prayer, and then to take that home and put it someplace where you can see it this week, in your Bible, on your refrigerator, by your nightstand, and see if you might take one more step in your commitment to prayer. Can you grow deeper in your prayer life? I didn't get to ask Lucy this morning, but Lucy, as we contemplate our prayer lives, if you could play through Sweet Hour of Prayer. So take a minute to fill out your commitment card, your commitment to Christ, and your commitment to prayer. Thank you. And let us pray. O holy God, we come before you and we commit our lives again to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to also be committed to a life of prayer. May we come to you seeking solace and strength and comfort. May we come to you on good days and bad days. May we come to you in all the situations of our own lives. May we come knowing that you long to walk with us on our earthly journey. As we gather today, O Lord, in this sanctuary, we come as a people of prayer. And as we lift up our prayers to you, O Lord, this day, there are so many that come to mind. We lift up especially those who are facing surgery, those who have received diagnosis of illness and disease, those who need to undergo therapy, those who are hospitalized. We pray not only for our loved ones who are facing difficulties with their health, but we pray for their families as well, O Lord, for their caregivers. Strengthen them for the journey. Help them to rest assured that others hold them in prayer as well, that they might know your comfort through our prayers. O Lord God, we pray this day for all those who mourn. And we know, O Lord, that you long to surround us with your comfort and your peace. And we pray now that for all those who have recently lost loved ones. O Lord God, on this World Communion Sunday, we pray especially for your world. There is so much turmoil and distress, O Lord, and we pray that you would help us to be a people of peace and a people that would not be fearful. We pray, O Lord, for situations of warfare around your globe. We pray for refugees. We pray for those who are seeking shelter and those who need to know security of health. We pray, O Lord, especially for the situation with the Ebola virus. And we pray, O Lord, that your hand would be present with those medical officials who are caring for those who are diseased and this infection. O Lord God, we pray that as we gather around your table, that we would be mindful of your children around the world who also share this day the bread and the cup. Together, O Lord, may we come to you as a people of prayer, committed to share your love and your life with others. We pray this in your Son's most holy name. Amen.